Welcome to the divine service here at Zion this morning for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. Our opening hymn today, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Let us begin.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, November 9th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Josh and Rachel Welker and Casey Jones. Our organist is Nancy Gunderman. The opening hymn is number 739, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, hymn number 739, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Bill and Diane Breen are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast to the glory of God and thankfulness for His many blessings.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beast and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Be with you. Let us pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of Exodus, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning. yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see God, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. That is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the first commandment?
You shall have no other gods.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, trust in God above all things.
The epistle reading from 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him, so that he may be revealed in time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God Not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." And some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well," for they no longer dared ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of the Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. If there's any children who'd like to come forward for a children's message, they're invited to do so at this time. Okay, so, you are familiar with Moses, right? And Moses was out watching the sheep of his father-in-law, right? So, father-in-law. Your dad's father-in-law would be your mom's dad. So, your grandpa, okay? So he was out watching the sheep, and he's out there, and all of a sudden he looks over, and there's this bush on fire. Now I'm sure that's not abnormal. I mean, lightning strikes and fire, and it's like he's okay. So there's a bush on fire, but you know, the more he watches it, the more he notices, there's something odd about this. It's like, the bush isn't burning up. It's just staying on fire, but it's not burning up. He goes, so, like a good fella, a good man, you know, what's he going to do? I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to go look at it. So he goes and he looks at this bush, and as he gets close, what happens as he gets close to the bush? God talks to him out of the bush and says, Moses, you know, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Okay. So he does that, and he says, Moses, I have heard the cries of my people in Egypt, and I am going to rescue them, and I am going to go through you and use you to rescue them. And Moses is like, I don't know. You can imagine what's going on in his mind. And so he says, well, you know, what if I get there and the people say, well, you tell me who sent you to us. You know, tell me who sent you. And God says, well, you tell them the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob sent you to me. Well, what if they ask what your name is? What is your name? Now, here's the point of the whole thing. Okay? God says, you tell him, I am, has sent you. Now, that's a unique name, isn't it? I am. What do you think about that, Granger? That's a very interesting name. Now, so I was thinking about this. And I thought, who is Carson Sharon? Are you Carson Sharon? So you can answer that question with what? Say, I am. Right? Are you Carson Sharon? Yeah. Who is William Bright? That's right. That's right. Okay. And we could go down the line and all of that. But I can't remember everybody's name all the right time. So what if I looked at each of you and said your name, you could say, I am, right? Are you Addison? Are you Addison Sheely? I don't think so. I think this is Addison Sheely. Okay. And so when we say I am to that, it means there is nobody like you ever. You are unique. Even if somebody had the same name that you have, they're not you. You are you. Right? You are you. And God's, when he says, I am, he means, I am the God who has always been, who is, and who always will be. I just am. I exist. And just like you, there is no other God like this God. There is only one true God, the God who is, I am. So this is the Lord's name. The Lord's name is I Am, which means he is the God who exists. He is the God who is. He is the only true God. That is who our God is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great I Am. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us as the great I Am. The God who exists, the God who is, and that there is no other God besides you. There is no other God like you. There is no other God, for you are God and God alone. Bless us this day and keep us always in your care. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I ask you to go ahead and head back to your seats now. And we continue with the singing of the next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 660, Stand Up for Jesus. Hymn number 660 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning from today's epistle reading, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way. The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When we think about, when we pay attention to, when we study literature, it's important to, consider the secondary characters. You know, the characters who are not main characters, obviously, but they are supporting characters within the story. But I also think that it is important to look at, like, maybe the context clues or the context cues, however you want to say that, or look at the context of what is going on, the background clues that can be found inside of the text. And maybe we can look at them, and maybe, you know, in your reading, you can read between the lines just a little bit. See? Okay. So what am I trying to say? So take Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. Okay. Now, what can we gather from Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan? Well, I think, first of all, it's important to note that nobody seemed shocked that a traveler was waylaid by robbers. They didn't seem to shock anybody. And it's not just that he was robbed, but it was also the gang of robbers wasn't content just to rob the man. They beat him and left him for dead. Okay. And still, nobody is like flustered by this. It doesn't seem to bother any of his hearers to hear this. So what am I going to take from that? Apparently, in Jesus' day, in the day in the life of the people he's talking to at this time, violent crime is a common enough occurrence that the story was totally relatable. Right? These people were used to violent crime. Now, we don't think of that. I think that we have this head or this idea in our heads that back in Bible times, everybody was, you know, super religious. And whether it was their gods or God, or whether they were pagans or Jews or whatever it was, we got this idea in our head that everybody was super religious. But that's just not so. As a matter of fact, there were plenty of wicked people around in Jesus' day. And our current times don't hold the monopoly on heartlessness and wickedness and evil behavior. People are people, and people have been people ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin. And the only thing that has changed is the level of technology, right? So I am convinced that, you know, people haven't changed all that much. Our level of technology has, but, you know, you can go back to the ancient world and you can certainly understand that somebody was talking to his buddy going, "And you know, George, I can't stand that guy. He just irritates me every time he talks." Right? Or, you know, Ahmed or Ahnad or whatever, you know, whoever they decided to, you know, we're talking about. And I am fully convinced that, you know, in our section of the country, when the Native Americans were here and the Keokuk and the Kickapoo and there were a couple guys walking around, they're like, "Man, it's that time of year, isn't it? My sinuses are killing me." You know, I mean, we're people. And we've always been people. And people do wicked and evil things sometimes. So, you know, I said the technology has changed. So with our technology, you know, what are we afraid of? We're afraid of counterfeiters and people using artificial intelligence to create what are called deep fakes. And that is, you know, making a video, somebody making a video of a person saying something that they didn't say. They use a computer-generated image to make it look like somebody saying something that they didn't say and doing things they didn't do. And it's usually intended to manipulate the person's words or actions to intentionally fool or mislead others. And we say that technology is bad, but technology is actually, it's really a rather neutral thing. It's people with wicked or bad intentions that are behind the programming of a machine to do this thing or that thing or some other thing. So as an exercise in our imagination, what I'd like to do today is look at what's going on in our text. Okay? Someone or somebody's were sowing uneasiness in the Thessalonian congregation concerning the coming of the day of the Lord, that is, the return of Jesus and the return of Christ in glory. And apparently they were saying, "Hey, it's already happened. The day of the Lord has already come. And the people were distressed about this because they're thinking, I missed it. Apparently I'm not saved. Something's going on. What's going on here? And so this is what's going on. So they are asking Paul about this. And what is Paul's answer? He says, this unsettling teaching, he goes, was done by either a spirit, right? Somebody channeling a spirit, done by a spoken word or by a letter, seeming to be from either Paul or Silas or Timothy, some of the ones who had come and established the congregation in Thessalonica. And, when they heard this, they're like, the people were agitated. The people were upset. They were scared. Did we already miss the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? So some folks claiming to have received a prophetic vision or some type of communication from the spiritual world, or there is a you know who they are, right? We all do. They say things. They say a lot of things. I don't know actually who they are. They just say stuff. Because people will say, well, I heard. Well, where'd you hear that? Well, I don't know. I just heard it from so on, somebody. You know, this is the rumor mill that gets going. And they say, well, I heard from my brother's wife's sister-in-law, and she overheard her friend's husband telling the brickmaker that, you know, we missed the resurrection. It's already passed. It's already done. Or so on and so forth. It's even possible that someone had generated a letter that was supposed to be from the apostle. They made a fake. They made a counterfeit letter. And somebody in Thessalonica had already spread the news that Paul or Silas or Timothy said that the day of the Lord was present already. Now, why do people do that? Like, why do they make stuff up? Why do they tell stories? Why do they say things like they said? You know, the nebulous they. Why would somebody do that? The apostle tells them that such alleged testimony is false. And he says that in verse 3 of our text. And he tells the congregation, let no one deceive you in any way. Now that's an important point. Even within the church, there will be people who practice deception. What's their motives? I'm sure I don't know. Some people want to feel important, so they make up stories. Others desire power and control. Some want to manipulate other people. Maybe they want to manipulate money out of other people. It's also probably too that even some of the false teachers were sincere in their false teaching, and they sincerely believed it. Now, they were wrong. They were sincerely wrong, but they were sincere. And we must stay away from false teaching and false doctrine. Right, so this is important. There is deception out there. There are deceivers out there. And we must be well aware of them. We must watch out for them. We must pay attention for them. We must be careful not to fall for the deception. It also doesn't change the fact that behind the falsehoods and behind the deceptive lies is satanic teaching and satanic deception. The devil is behind all false teachers, be they wickedly deceptive or sincere but sincerely wrong. It is Satan, it is the devil himself who is behind the false teaching in the world because he does not stand for the truth. As the scripture says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. And he is the father of lies. And Satan desires that all things pertaining to our redemption, all things pertaining to your salvation should be taken and twist it. Why? Because he wants you to lose faith. He wants you to not trust in the Word of God. He cannot stand your salvation. So you should not be shocked when you are treated the way Jesus, your Redeemer, was treated. Right? If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, what do you think they're going to call the servants? If they treated me this way, Jesus says, how do you think they're going to treat you? Now, in this particular instance, the deception was concerning the day, meaning the last day, the time coming up to the second coming of Jesus and Jesus' second coming. And these people were afraid. They were scared. They had missed the resurrection of the dead. They had missed the second coming of Jesus. And so they were very worried about this. And St. Paul, you know, he points them back. He says, no, you haven't missed the resurrection. You haven't missed the day of the Lord. And he says, look, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the age. And Jesus answered them, you know, the disciples had asked, and Jesus answered and said, see to it that no one leads you astray. See to it that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am he, or I am the Christ. And they will lead many people away. And you will hear of wars and of rumors of wars. See to it that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, and there will be earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. They will deliver you up to tribulation. They will put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And so Paul is pointing out to them, he'd already written to them in 1 Thessalonians about this, about the coming of the Lord. And we use that as a funeral text, as a matter of fact. He says, but we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who fall asleep, so that you may grieve as those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you from a word from the Lord. We will not precede those who have fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet blast of heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are left, we who are alive, will rise together with them and meet them in the air. And therefore, we will always be with Christ. Encourage one another with these words. He doesn't want you to be afraid that you missed it somehow. So don't fall for the deceptions. Paul goes on to say, now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, when people are saying, there is peace and security, and then sudden destruction will come upon them. So don't worry so much when the day is going to come. You know it's going to come. Don't worry about it. It'll come when the Lord has appointed that day to come. You be faithful now. You keep your trust in the Lord. You keep trusting in the forgiveness of sins won by Jesus Christ. This is what you do. Don't worry about the last day. Don't do theology by newspaper, theology by CNN, okay? Don't worry about it. It will come when it comes. Be concerned about being ready for it when it does come. And that means being faithful now. The point being that we should not be deceived by what someone says, or if they say they have a vision or whatever. We should cling to Christ alone. Because Jesus is the one who says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of eternal life. Be content with the word of the Bible, and simply be ready for Jesus' return, whatever that will be. Anything more than that, it comes from the devil. So just trust in your baptism. Trust in the absolution. Trust in the sacrament of the altar. Trust in the word of God. And you'll be fine. You'll be okay. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus Christ, there are many who have gone out into the world and have spread untruths in your name. You know them, and you know the motivations in their hearts, and you will judge them accordingly. We ask you that as you desire that none of your little ones be lost, you would preserve us from all the assaults of the evil one, and that you would protect us from the lies of the devil. Let none of them affect our doctrine, our preaching and our teaching, and most of all, our eternal life with you. Preserve us in your word. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, in the giving of Eve to Adam, you instituted the gift of marriage, that man and woman would be husband and wife, and that they would be companions to one another as long as life shall last. We ask you to receive the thanksgiving of Brian and Coralie Stolzenberg as they this past week have celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary. Thank you for the years that you have given to them and for the daughters that you have blessed them with and for the life of faith that you have bestowed upon them. We ask that you would give them many more years to celebrate their love for one another and to rejoice in the gifts that you give. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Gracious God, you give us many blessings, and for that we are thankful. It is to you we turn when the blessings of health and well-being turn to weakness and sickness. Give those we now pray for strength in their infirmities and a greater measure of faith in you during their trials. Hear our prayers for Shirley Diddis' brother Harry as he recovers from his recent surgery and asking that you would grant him a swift recovery. We pray for those battling cancer, especially Nancy Lair's sister Deborah, as she prepares for breast cancer surgery. And we ask your blessings upon Ron McEwen as he begins his cancer treatments. We also ask you to strengthen Betty Schmidt as she is hospitalized with a broken rib after a fall. Be with all others whom we name in our hearts as they undergo treatments for the cancer that besets their body. We ask you to be with Carl Awe as he battles his recent illness and that you would strengthen him according to your will. And to all others who cry to you, O Lord, grant them their prayers according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, as our world gets harder and harder for Christian children to retain or maintain their faith, we humbly ask that you would cause our Lutheran school system to prosper. Bless not only our school with students, but also all our Lutheran schools, preschool through seminaries, so that they would be instrumental in securing the faith among the members of our churches and helpful in spreading the word of salvation to those who have not yet heard of Jesus. This we ask in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark A. Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you would find the links to the internet stream and to the Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with the Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 917, Savior Again to Thy Dear Name We Raise, hymn number 917, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. We have, I want to just reiterate one announcement this morning. Youth group, junior high and senior high youth group at this afternoon from 3 o'clock to 4:45. It is a scavenger hunt. So they're going to go around town with some drivers and find stuff. And get their sheets ticked off and checked off and come back and have some drinks and some snacks. So if you would, when you come, either bring a drink or a snack with you. And that is junior high, senior high, 3 to 4:45. Did you have something, Rachel? So Little Lutherans of Logan County, right? 4 o'clock, one to four Saturday, correct? All right, thank you, at school. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.